Kia ora and welcome to the Dropkicks. I'm Dom.
Hi everyone, this is Hayden.
And this is Sideline Mike.
And you were just listening to an 8-piece jazz band for the opening night of the Fringe Festival, doing an improv jazz to the first game of the Super 14, Wellington versus the Blues in Wellington, cultural capital of New Zealand.
The jazz was in Wellington, not the game.
Not the game.
That piece was supplied to us by our friend Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Who
big ups, Tom.
Illegally snuck that in.
Word. Okay, let's get right into it for the second broadcast of the Dropkicks of the podcast, rugby podcast, only one in the Southern Hemisphere. We'll get straight into it. We're much more organised this week.
You can tell already.
You can tell. So, Sideline Mike will just give us a rundown of what's going to happen this evening.
Well, I think first up, we will review last week's Super 14 games. Then we will have a bit of news from around the world. Sevens, Six Nations, plus anything else that strikes our fancy. And we will end up previewing next week's Super 14 games. And that's about it for the show. So thanks for listening.
Hope you enjoyed that.
Okay.
And come away informed.
Have a good week. Yeah. Get right into it. First game we'll review was last week's game of the round, Blues versus Hurricanes. Hayden, what can you tell us about that?
Well, I can't. The game, my recollections of the game are slightly blurry in the fact we were watching it at the Loaded Hog. It was a friend's going away party. Game was good. The first half, the halftime score was 16-3 to the Blues.
Yes.
And then the Hurricanes just came out and blitzed them. Just came out and destroyed them.
Yeah.
Tasisilavia was an idiot. Like, he just... bad plays, bad kicks. He just got shown up by a chump, as a chump, by the Wellington team. The best play of the game was Chris Marsoi knocking the ball loose from somebody, scooping it up, running 5 metres, fending someone off, continuing to run, and then passing it off to Lomi Fa'atau, because he realised that Lomi Fa'atau is much faster than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And Fa'atau in for the try. Brilliant. Yeah.
Mm.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
And especially for us, because we picked the Hurricanes to win. That was 8 sweet points in the Virtual Super 12.
8 sweet points. Oh, that's a new addition to this week. We'll
14.
Be picking margins for the Super 14 games instead of just throwing our balls behind a team. We'll be picking 12 and under and 13 plus.
Yep,
so we
absolutely.
Will keep you informed of that when we come to the previews of next week's games. Right, so that was final score of 37 to 19.
Yeah, the second half, 34-3.
Wow.
Hurricanes did enjoy most of the possession for that match, I believe.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Even in the first half, they had a lot of
just
it.
Just tend to bumble it.
Yeah, Umanga at the end of the game went out injured as well.
I've seen that.
He's been training.
I have a funny feeling they may rest him for this week anyway, because it's against the Force. We'll get onto that later. But
yes, I've seen reports that it's nothing to worry about his injury.
He had a good start, but again, he bumbled the ball a little.
He did, but I mean, that's to be expected. First game of the season, anyone can.
It would be, but then we'll talk about the Crusaders.
Well, shall we go straight into that? What the hell not? Crusaders.
Well, the Crusaders destroyed the Highlanders at Jay Stadium, as we predicted. And they just finished last season and just kept going, not making mistakes.
Yep, Crusaders looking very difficult to beat at this stage.
Yeah, and there was a bit of talk by the Highlanders about that early tackle by Leon McDonald on
It was dodgy. I don't know if it was a penalty try. But
no, I think he made the right decision, the ref. I don't think it was a turning point either. I think even if they'd scored, I still think the Crusaders would have won.
It really wasn't done on purpose either. A few people saying it was done on purpose. I don't think so. I don't.
Okay, so final score for the Crusaders Highlanders.
I don't know.
Oh no, it was like 2 points, 38 to 15, I think it was. That's given them the points difference over the Hurricanes at the top of the table. Force Brumbies, 25-10 to the Brumbies. Apparently never got out of third gear the whole game, but
no one did really.
They got injured. My word, they got injured.
Yes.
I'm going to do a little rundown of injuries later on, so I won't get into
injury rundown. But I heard that the Force did put up a bit of a fight.
And the first half was particularly close. And the Brumbies really only took out the first half thanks to a bit of an opportunistic try by Mark Chisholm, I think it was, their lock.
Cheetahs Bulls. What was the final score of the Cheetahs Bulls?
Oh,
Gats Bulls.
Do you remember last week what you were going to abbreviate the Cheetahs to?
Oh, the Cheetahs Bulls. Oh, there you go.
You're welcome.
30 points to 18 to the Bulls. 30.
Bulls, okay, that was expected. I think we won points for
that
one.
Oh, yeah, we got that one.
Cheetahs at home, though. They apparently, again, look strong despite the running out. The Bulls are the best team in the South African team, so...
Easily.
And as you mentioned last week, it's a step up to the Super 14. They'll take their time to find their feet, but...
I'm not going to write off the Cheetahs just yet, I think, against Sharks coming this week. There is a bit of a chance. We'll discuss that shortly, though.
What's the next?
Reds Waratahs. Grudge match, the start of Origin.
And that turned into... It wasn't a bad game. It was apparently quite slow, and there was a fight or something.
It rose to the heights that most Reds Waratahs games rise to, which isn't very high.
Didn't they have the lowest scoring game in history?
And
this one wasn't...
16-12 to the
Waratahs. Apparently some handbag fighting.
In fact, the big man Dell ran like length of the field to get in amongst that fracas.
Oh, but he's an idiot. He was came on the field, was showing off his Waratahs emblem to the crowd. They were booing and hassling him. And then he did the up yours to them when he scored a try. Oh, he did something. He gave them the up yours symbol.
I think it was when they won.
But it's really bad form. I mean, I kind of like the guys in the American football who are all cheesy and but they're funny and stuff. This guy, he's just an idiot. He's not funny. He's not a very good footballer.
Cat Stormers and Johannesburg.
Stormers won. We picked the Stormers winning. And they beat the Cats, and that's all really. I mean, it's not
23-12 error ridden game. Apparently, I didn't see it. So
it's on the middle of the.
Apparently it was wet as well.
Moving on, final game, Sharks versus the Chiefs.
Sharks-Chiefs. Now, we had the Chiefs picked, and this is one we got wrong. The Sharks beat them by 30 points to 21. The Chiefs, I really thought they were going to do much better than that. Obviously, that's why we picked them. The play of the round came out of this game was Sharks halfback Ruan Pienaar. He ran 60 metres out, stepped in between two Chiefs, and then wrong-footed Mools Muliaina and took off up the field, just split everyone else and scored a try. It was absolutely brilliant. I've seen the replays of that because I wasn't up at 4 in the morning and I don't have Sky. And
I heard the Chiefs just suffered from a case of fumbleitis. Super Bowl 14, first game jitters.
First game in South Africa, goodness gracious.
It's a tough start. I still think that it was a first up jitters. And
Watch them this week. I reckon they're going to do much, much better.
I think especially what Jono Gibbs is probably looking likely to play as well. Yeah. I think he's a bit of a talisman for them.
So. Yeah, he is.
Okay, so that's the Super 14 rundown. Leading the table at the moment are the Canterbury Crusaders.
And the Hurricanes. It's much of a muchness. They're both on 5.
With the Brumbies and the Bulls.
The Crusaders are ahead on points differential. And it is so very weird that after 1 week where you can either win or lose because there were no draws, that there can be two teams at the top and not... say 7 because of the bonus points. We'll have a show in the middle of the season devoted to why we hate bonus points.
A bonus point hatred show, which is we will,
especially in such a long season.
Okay, so that's the Super 14 rundown for this week. Moving into the sevens.
Sevens.
Aiden Green is going to update us on this.
Yeah,
didn't do my homework.
Dom didn't do anything. Left it to me and Mike.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, I know you didn't do anything.
Oh, good.
The LA Sevens happened this weekend, and the Fijian team won again.
No?
I thought they won.
England won.
Oh, it's there. I told you. $5 on England. They were going to win.
Fiji bundled us out in the semis.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah,
they struggled.
So Fiji bundled us out in the semis.
Oh, England trounced them.
And they'll pay $15 or something with that. $10.
Yeah.
Balls. Anyway, continue.
The Kiwi team, Gordon Titchens, has said that he's actually quite happy with his guys. They were stoked to get to the semis and play well against Fiji.
Well, I think they're still the same bunch of young fellas that played in Wellington. And they're just going from strength to strength. They can only get better.
On this, we're coming up to the Melbourne Commonwealth Games, in which there will be a sevens competition. And, of course, England's going to be there, Australia, South Africa, Fiji, all the island nations. It's going to be almost like a mini extra sevens tournament this year. Australia have now released Lottie Takeri, Matt Gitto, Scott Farver and Chris Latham to that Commonwealth Games team. And
that's big.
They'll be competing. I don't know who is in the New Zealand squad, but I imagine Hitchens is going to be...
There's one player from each Super 14.
Yeah.
Doug Howlett, Sasini Anisi, Tamati Ellison from the Hurricanes, Josh Blackie from the Highlanders, and someone from the Crusaders.
Well, it would have to be someone. Anyhow, so on 60 Minutes last night, they had a little article about Jonah Lomu coming back and trying to get him.
Yeah,
and I thought, why don't they get him in the Sevens team?
Yeah. That would be ideal.
They need, a big guy. He's not doing anything. They showed him in this thing. He was working on his sprints with one of the leading British...
Linford Christie, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Linford Christie. But yeah, they... he's working on his sprints. He's doing quite fast over the 100. Put him in the Sevens team.
Oh, absolutely. If there's anyone who can get anyone into condition, it's Titch.
Yeah.
It'll be good for Jonah.
Yep.
Absolutely. And
the Sevens team.
Sevens team.
Well, yes. Yeah, and I don't mean for the Commonwealth Games. I mean send him off on the tour.
Yeah, put him on the tour.
And all he wants to do is get a black jersey back on. That'll do for the moment. And they can have... Then they've got this tested veteran who's played for the Sevens before, played quite well for the Sevens before. And the young guys can have, sort of a centre thing to go around, like back when they had Eric Rush. Yeah, that was just something I thought of last night.
Oh, good.
Nobody else was.
Peter Poindexter over there. Would you like to tell us what's next on the agenda?
Six Nations?
Oh, I might run down
Six Nations. Yeah, that's good. So long, Mike. Six Nations, tell us.
Three more games on the weekend. England played Italy in Italy.
And lost.
Ha, almost. England were leading Italy by 24 points to 16 with about 2 minutes to go. Italy tried to break out from their own 22, dropped the ball, and England swooped it up and scored to make the scoreline a bit of a flattering 31 points to 16 to England. Next, Wales played Scotland. We actually thought Scotland might win this, but they didn't because...
Okay, I'm going to hold the whole thing here. Mike, you're not allowed to cut this out. I was reviewing the podcast, and I picked Wales to win this.
No, but me and Dom...
You and Dom... I picked Wales.
Oh, okay.
Just putting that in. I was quite proud when I read that.
Yeah, but only because Scotland were down to 14 men.
Only because.
It was only because of that.
Only because that guy kicked some dude in the head.
Yeah, that's right.
That dude being Scott Murray, who kicked Ian Gough in the head for a late tackle.
You transcribed that whole podcast, didn't you?
We've
gone
much.
Through it like 10 times.
Yeah, it's funny. Listen to it.
That means you, viewers. All two of you.
Viewers?
Oh, that's me. You have...
Yeah. Oh, really?
Listeners.
Yeah. That's so sad.
So we're one from two so far. What was next?
France versus Ireland.
Hooray!
Yes, we got this one right as well.
Well, we did. Oh. Dom got it wrong.
Oh, you picked Ireland.
I went through the podcast last week.
France were up by 43 points to 3 after 50 minutes, and they ended up by winning by 43 points to 31.
Guinness kicked in.
Well, they imported some blues players.
Yeah. Well, they played in blue.
They're the Irish,
no,
no, the French.
Second half
collapse. Of course they played in blue.
The Stade de France crowd booed the home team off the field. Okay, so that was it. Next Six Nations is in 2 weeks, so we'll cover that next week.
And we got 66%.
I should have said this before. I got a quote from Gareth Thomas, who's the captain of the Welsh team. The 28-18 win over Scotland must have been an entertaining game to watch because we were flat out for 80 minutes and the boys were really blowing at the end.
Lying flat, just blown out, eh?
Yeah.
And it's nice to note there that Gareth Thomas has four vowels, which is a team record in his name. Four vowels.
Yeah.
Okay, from the Six Nations, we move to other sports.
I've got all this stuff about the Winter Olympics.
Hooray!
Winter Olympics is on.
Really?
Who knew? It's only on at midnight on TV1 and never ever again. Currently on the top of the leaderboard are the United States. However, I did get this off a US website. They actually only have 6 medals in total. Norway have 8. They've just got less gold.
That's the way they always do medals tables, though.
Yeah, but sometimes they go by number of medals. And
sometimes they do.
Yeah. So the Americans have won 4 gold, the Russians have won 2, which actually had them at the top of the table for a very long time. And then Germans, Norwegians, Holland, A's, the South Koreans. Oh, the South Koreans, this was so cool. The South Koreans were over the moon because in the 1500-metre speed skating finals, the American... Apollo Anton Ono fell over.
Oh no!
No, get no. Wait, fell over, and so the South Korean guy shot in and won. That was exactly the headline on ESPN. Oh no!
Oh no!
Oh no! That's just awful.
This guy Ono is He is the most hated. No, he's American. He is the most hated athlete in South Korea. They did a poll of which international athlete do you hate the most when competing against South Korea. This guy won because at the last Winter Olympics, the South Korean guy, I think his name was Don Yang, won the gold medal, but then was disqualified later for a push, which never happened. Was one of those things on replay, you don't really see it, but he was disqualified for pushing this guy, Ono, and Ono won the gold medal. And so South Korea just hates him. And even though it was shown, the event was shown at 3 in the morning in South Korea, South Korean television networks went nuts. They were instantly going, Ono falls over and we win. Take that, America.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't think that happened in the real world.
No, it does. Also, a lot of people got hurt. Michelle Kwon will never win a gold medal.
She's only 25. I can't understand that.
Yeah.
Why not go to the next Olympics?
Because she'll be too old. It's figure skating. It's like gymnastics. She'll be an old woman. No one will want her. She pulled her groin muscle during a practice session and then pulled out. She was crying and stuff. Bodie Miller, Darren Reeves are just not doing very well. And the Americans are crying about
Bodie's not doing very well.
Bodie's not doing very well. Ooh. Even though he's living in his camper van, as we reported last week.
In his hot box.
He's not doing... The Americans are just so pissed off at this because they're going, why aren't our team winning all the gold medals?
But they are.
Well, they are, I know. And then the woman's downhill, Lindsay Kildow, crashed, had to be helicoptered off. She reckons she'll be back racing on Wednesday. Initial reports indicated her legs were not broken. have been in action. The New Zealanders.
New Zealanders, yes.
The men's curling team have won. They haven't won. That's a damn dirty lie.
Oh.
They didn't win. I got your hopes up. played two games, once against three-time world champion Sweden. They lost 6-3. Ooh. And then they went on and played Great Britain and lost to them 10-5. They are up against the US on Wednesday.
So are we out of all medal contention? Is that, are we buggered?
It's curling. I don't care all that much. And we've also got coming up pretty soon Louise Corcoran on the skeleton. Now the skeleton's my favourite event. I don't know if you know it. It's the one where it's like bobsled, except that you're all by yourself. All there is just this tiny little set, and you go down head first. Your chin is literally an inch from the ice, screaming along at like well over 100 k's an hour.
Mm.
I was looking at the thing today, it's just insane. And there were people crashing in the luge and stuff today, people like skidding up, breaking their legs, breaking their arms, flying around the track at 100 k's an hour, and then like your chin, just a little bit of you hits the ice and pff, that's it, you're all over.
Why do they call it the skeleton?
Possibly because you die.
Break every bone.
I don't know why they call it the skeleton.
You break every bone in your body.
Yeah.
I kind of did that in Munich. It was good fun. Yeah.
Kind of broke every bone in your body?
No, I kind of did the skeleton head first thing down toboggan ice trails.
You did too.
Really good fun.
Didn't you break your coccyx?
I did break my coccyx. It's hurting right now.
Can anyone tell me who the first person from the Southern Hemisphere to get a podium finish in the Winter Olympics was?
Anna Lisa Koberger.
Excellent.
Silver medal.
Yeah,
all
right.
Slalom.
Where was that?
No. Lily.
No.
It wasn't Lily. Nag.
92 in Albertville.
Was going to be my next guess.
The Spanish Winter Olympic team, sorry, continuing on the same. Spanish Winter Olympic team did very much like the New Zealanders, had a whole bunch of stuff nicked. Lost by the airline, all their stuff. And it is actually skis, snowboards, cases, bobsleds, a whole bunch of stuff. Actual equipment. Not like, you know, a laptop or something. Actual equipment. Gone. Spain's only realistic medal hope is skier Maria Jose Rienda, who is competing in the giant slalom event. However, she doesn't arrive until Friday, so her stuff is safe. Athlete of the week.
Athlete of the week.
Athlete of the week. This week's athlete of the week comes from what the Americans call their outdoors sports, fishing. And this one is from hunting.
Excellent.
Athlete of the week is Vice President Dick Cheney.
Oh, yes. Yes, good old Dick.
For shooting Harry Whittington, a millionaire attorney from Austin. Cheney was out with this fella and somebody else out shooting quail in a hunting trip in Texas. The guy walked up behind them. Cheney spun around and shot him.
Things not to do when you're hunting.
Whittington came up behind the Vice President and the other hunter and didn't signal them or indicate to them or announce himself. The owner of the property said the Vice President didn't see him. The cubby flushed and the vice president picked out a bird and was following and shot. And by God, Harry was in the line of fire and got peppered pretty good. Cheney is an avid hunter and makes annual hunting trips to South Dakota to hunt pheasants. He also travels to Arkansas to hunt ducks. The owner of the property said, this is something that happens...
Right, to hunt a ruggy.
The dangerous prey of all. Man. The owner of the property continued, this is something that happens from time to time, you know. I've been peppered pretty well myself. I was doing a blog search and I found that this fella, he says, this is kungfumonkey.blogspot.com, brilliant blog. He says, hey, I'm not going to bust Cheney's chops on shooting that guy at all. I know it was an accident, because the prey Hank Cheney hunts to eat, he strangles to death with his bare hands. So, athlete of the week.
Big thumbs up.
Yeah. I don't know if this is of interest, but people are saying that he could be up on firearms charges if the guy chooses to prosecute him, and he is an attorney. Mm. And that's it in terms of crazy news.
Okay, now, normally at this point we'd be doing our Mackayism segment, but Green, you'd like to elaborate on that?
Yeah, Hamish Mackay isn't doing the rugby commentary anymore. TV3 lost.
Hooray!
Yeah, I know. It's bittersweet, because Prime TV have got the rights to the free-to-air coverage now, and like most people in Wellington, I don't get Prime TV.
No.
So, Hamish McCoy's not doing it anymore. They've got him on TV3 News last night. They had him in a stuffy little room with a video monitor behind him and an ugly tie. And they said, here's our rugby editor, Hamish McCoy. And he looked so sad, all tucked away in his little room. And he had nothing to growl at. It was nothing like, oh, the Blues, or anything like that. It was just...
He's all by himself.
All alone, looked quite sad. So we've decided to scrap that because it would be like kicking a puppy, and we've left that, and instead we've got a new segment called
No Pun Intended.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Excellent.
No pun intended there.
Where we will scout out around the world's news, sports, news media, looking for puns, news, sports puns. Which are just the best ever. Speaking of puns, I only just realised what Sideline Mike was earlier this week. I think it was 11:53 a.m. February 9th, or something like that.
That's right, yes.
I finally figured out Sideline Mike, the pun that went along with Sideline Mike. Dom, you're very clever.
Cheers.
I had not figured that out.
No.
I haven't figured it out.
Sideline Mike, like Sideline Microphone.
Oh!
Yeah, I know. I know.
I so should have got that.
I know. Nobody. Amy was listening to it and she said, oh yeah, I just got that. Me too.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's cryptic. I hope you've all got that now, listeners. And and you're going back over to the last podcast and having a laugh. Having another laugh on us. Actually, go on, man. Go back. It's on us.
Yeah. It's on me. Finish listening to this one first.
Yes. I believe Sideline Mike has a pun to kick us off.
I do have a pun. It is... from planetrugby, I think, .com.
Perth? They don't know anything about rugby, only listen to us.
Not a thing.
That's right. Did I say planetrugby.com? I meant planetrugby.boy.core. That was like...
Dodge that bullet.
The headline is, Perth boys feeling the full force of injuries.
Ooh.
Now that's funny in so many ways.
I like the way they put Perth and Force.
And
that's
Force,
nice.
Yes, because Force is from Perth. Yeah,
because
that's their team.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's good. Yeah, and full force, you know, full force of injuries. Yeah. They have a lot of injuries, so it's...
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. It must have taken them a while to think
they
of
that one. I don't think so. Well, maybe it did, but I think they planned about... As soon as they found out the name, their brain box has just been sitting there going, what could happen? What could possibly happen?
Yeah.
Well,
speaking of that, I mean, Mike, you found another one that was like this as well. TV3 were going, a super weekend of the Super 14.
Ooh.
Everything about the Super 14 is super.
Yes, those cheetahs up for a super season or something like that.
It's just terrible. I found two, but they were non-rugby related. Ricky Ponting and Andrew Simons in the cricket yesterday smacked a ton of balls.
Yeah.
And they were
They were called Nutella balls.
Oh, God.
I think what Hayden was trying to say was they smacked a ton of runs each.
Well, they had to smack the ball to hit the run.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Okay. And I don't even like cricket.
Anyway
so they called them the Bruise Brothers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's not even...
And, but they're all black and blue then?
Yeah, black and blue because they smashed Sri Lanka.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So they were the Blues Brothers.
Bruises all over their body.
Yeah. And the other one was about LeBron James, American basketballer LeBron James, and all the people who follow him around. They called it his LeBronterage.
That's good. I like that one. Yeah, LeBronterage.
But Prime have been quite pissy about this whole TV3 thing. Their ads on the back of the buses, here in Wellington at least, look like the new TV3 thing. It's pink, that sort of pink that they're using, and it's folded and stuff. And it says, we let them keep 3 News, Super 14, free-to-air on Prime.
Ooh.
It's mean.
Ooh.
And this is considering that Sky actually own Prime. So when Prime were bidding to Sky for the rights, it was basically like Sky giving money to Sky. So Prime could have bet...
A dollar.
Yeah. Well, Prime could have bet, I bid $40 billion. Yeah. And Sky would go, yeah, I'll take that. And then they just transact until they've got $40 billion moving through their system. That's dodgy. And they've been quite mean.
Yeah.
Quite mean. I mean, I don't care if TV3 get made fun of, but, you know, you don't have to be mean.
It's like kicking a puppy.
It's like kicking a puppy.
It's not kicking a puppy.
Oh, did you see that one? all the way across the room.
Okay, that was our
no harmed in the making of this podcast.
Except that one.
And it wasn't really harmed.
It's fine.
Three
legs is normal, but
it'll be fine.
So that was no pun intended. We'll be scouring the papers for you and bringing you the best puns from around the world. Okay, moving on to the Super 14 previews for this weekend. Kicking off quickly with Islanders Blues, Dunedin, Friday, 7:30.
This one's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
Actually, TV3 did this thing on Friday night on Nightline. They do this sports night. They have the guy go out and he does little quizzes, and he quizzed all the teams. And he was asking guys from the Highlanders and guys from the Blues and guys from the Hurricanes. He was asking them, name me the two new Super 12 franchise. These are guys like Anton Oliver, Paul Tito, Ben Blair, Nick Evans. None of them knew.
Really?
Wow. Not a single one. They're all like, I think Perth? And the guy's like, yeah, what are they called? And they were like, Perth. To be honest, Nick Evans was the only one who got every single one right. Someone actually said, I don't know, but they play in blue. That wasn't Nick Evans. Somebody else said that. Ben Blair had no idea what was going on. He didn't know anything. They asked them other things about the Super 14. Yeah. And about the history of the Super 12, and nobody knew. Nobody knew anything.
They're not exercising the most important muscle in the body. The brain. The brain.
Right, the brain.
It's not their most important muscle.
I was going to go with the trapezius.
Gluteus maximus.
I was going to go with the cremaster, but that's just me.
Oh, really?
Really? Mm. Where's that?
Somewhere around the coccyx, perhaps.
It's in that general locale. No, that's your homework. That's your homework this week.
Why does it always come back to the butt?
That's your homework, listeners, this week. Look up what the cremaster does and come back to us and email us at
dropkicks.podcast@gmail.com. Blues Highlanders.
Some of you
Highlanders at home.
Yes. I was going to lean towards Highlanders at home.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, Highlanders.
Okay. 12 and under.
Yeah, 12, definitely.
12 and under.
Yeah.
12 and under hundies is what I mean. 12 and under the Highlanders.
Yeah. Cats Chiefs, Johannesburg. Ooh, another Johannesburg game.
Actually, the Blues have got Blues have got injuries. I forgot to do this. I was going to do an injury rundown.
Okay, we'll just do an injury rundown now before we do the previews.
The Reds have lost quite a few people. They lost their number 8 skipper, John Rowe. To knee ligament damage.
Inspirational skipper John Rowe.
They also lost...
How long's that out for?
It's a big loss.
They've also lost the winger Tim Atkinson and the reserve halfback Nick Berry to similar injuries. All three are going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. They also lost... they got back their lock, Mark Connors, who had a broken thumb, but they cleared him.
Wallaby, so he's strong.
Flanker Mitchell Chapman is probably going to fill in at number 8 because John Rowe's backup, Ben Moen, is still getting over a broken jaw.
Ooh, swapping a John for a Mitchell.
Yeah.
That's not going to help.
John Mitchell.
John.
And Josh Valentine, I don't know where he...
he's a halfback, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he is, sorry. Will return early from a knee injury to replace Nick Berry, the injured guy from before. The Western Force lost their fly half, Lachlan Mackay. He got a knee injury.
He's five in New Zealand speak.
He will...
Number 10.
Assuming that they haven't gone nuts and are wearing letters on their back.
Oh, yes, LM.
Yeah, LM. Or maybe he's MK for Mackay. And he's out for the rest of the season.
Ooh.
The entire rest of the competition. He tore the medial ligament in his right knee.
That's not a good one to tear.
But his backup, Josh Graham, is going to miss 15. Two matches as well.
Through.
It doesn't say.
Okay.
It helpfully didn't say. The Crusaders have lost Tony Kunwayu for the season. He's out with a stress fracture to the front of his right shin, and he's going to be replaced with Stephen Brett.
Who is actually a fly half.
Really?
Number 10, yes. So that they could move Liam McDonald to the wing, I think. They're doing all sorts of
crazy things.
Crazy changing around thingies.
Perhaps they're going to have letters on their back soon.
Sorry, the Crusaders are doing it.
Yes, Crusaders.
Wow.
So they replaced a winger with a first five.
That's big.
Talking about this, they were saying, obviously, they're unhappy for Tony Kunwayu, but Coach Robbie Dean says, for Stephen Brett, well, he's gained an opportunity and he's earned it. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He just sat there and this guy broke his shin. He didn't earn anything unless he broke the guy's shin.
Maybe he did.
He won't start. Yeah. He won't get near it, probably. Not with Rico.
Oh, yeah.
He's not a winger. He's a first five.
Well, he's not going to get in there with Dan Carter there.
Well, unless they rest Dan.
Unless they rest Dan Carter
forward, which they probably will.
For the Blues.
They will.
They won't.
For the Blues, Angus McDonald. That's right, he does play for the Blues, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. The Blues, Angus McDonald is in doubt because he suffered a hamstring strain. Luke McAllister and Ben Artinger also missed training in Auckland today.
But on the bright side, we didn't know this last week, but apparently Troy Flavelle was still playing in Japan. We didn't know, and he wasn't due back until probably about 6 weeks into the Super 14. But his team got knocked out of the competition, so he is now available.
Considering that he was like a key player for this team, and their team gets knocked out,
and
do
biggest,
you want him back?
Well, that's true. And the biggest upset in Japanese rugby history, apparently.
Really?
It was a team of professionals, including Troy Flavelle, against a team of amateurs, and amateurs won.
Yeah.
Methinks the big Flav might have thrown the game.
I'm
just going to chuck that out there.
Dom, just throwing it out there. I would say that
we've got a seconding.
He's an idiot. He was already in the press conference today,
Talking
with David Nussafour. David Nussafour is going, "Oh, this is awesome that we got him back."
He's an ass.
Yeah,
that was lucky.
And they were like, "Oh, here's his bad boy past," and he was like, "Oh, I want to get over that."
Mm.
No, you don't get over that. Yeah. Get over it by playing well, but you're a dirty cheat, and we don't want you playing Super 14 because
and you let down all those poor Japanese.
All he's going to do is he's going to punch someone from another New Zealand team, and then they're not going to be available for the All Blacks or something like that, or they're going to lose the thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Steve Devine will be playing, however. Oh, and sorry, one more. Highlanders have lost wing Matt Saunders to a dislocated shoulder at practice.
That's a shame.
I quite like Matt Saunders. He played very well for them last year.
He is a very good player.
And the NPC, I think, would do quite well.
He's had a few good seasons for Otago.
Yes, he has.
He's a good little fella. He's quite small, though, I think.
No, he's quite big. He's quite big. Yeah. He's not
small. Oh, really? I feel he's small. Okay, so we'll do a preview now of the Super 14. Highlanders Blues, we've probably discussed that. We're going to go with the Highlanders.
Highlanders 112
at home. 112,
yes.
Yeah.
Cats Chiefs in Johannesburg. Chiefs.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Normally I'd pick the Chiefs.
First round knockers.
Ian Foster has not been expecting rain the whole time, and he's thinking that it's going to rain.
Ooh, and his Chargers run better on a wet track?
No. Because he wants like an expensive, extremely fast game where his guys can just sprint on the hard ground. But he's expecting rain now, and so he's like, I don't have enough big guys in the team. And
so the young colts in the Foster stable looking for a hard surface to go ahead of the Cats.
What are you doing?
It's a flippin' racing analogy.
Don't make this into your fantasy.
I'm not. It's a racing analogy. You talked about the wet surface. I was just trying to do some shtick about the horses, about them being colts.
Chiefs.
Yeah. Bulls, Brumbies.
Who are we going to pick?
Bulls.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs, actually.
I think I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well.
I think it's pretty big. 1-12, because they're away.
Yeah, there's two of us. We outrank you anyway, Dom.
Don't bother. Don't bother even.
Okay. I just want it for the record, for Peter Boy next to the note next week, that I, as much as again my heart lies with the Chiefs, I'm going to have to go with the Cats at home. It's tough to travel. And
the Cats
two games away and so they've got. It might just be too much for the Chiefs.
Cats did not score a try against the Stormers they played. It was four penalties that they kicked.
Bulls Brumbies.
Oh, sorry. The Chiefs have lost Neva Tuauso to a ankle ligament.
Ligament.
Ankle ligament damage.
New injury.
But they're going to replace
from Willy Wonka. From the Willy Wonka school of doctor. Ankle ligament.
That doesn't sound that serious. In fact, it sounds quite serious.
Things it was the magic special double juice. And he'll be riding rainbow game. Sorry.
Okay, well, he's going to be replaced with the youngster Lelia Masaga, who we talked about last week.
The Flash.
Awesome.
Well, we don't know. Tosini Anisi's way faster.
Yes, but his nickname is The Flash.
All right.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he call himself that?
I have no idea.
Because you know we're against
Mackay.
Oh, yes.
Mackay would have given them.
No,
I'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay. Bulls, Brumbies. Pretoria, 7 a.m.
I'm going to go
match the
Bulls.
Bulls. I don't think the Brumbies look that good against the Force, to be honest. I don't think the Australians have really got it in the forwards at the moment.
Did the Bulls look that good against the Cheese?
Yeah.
I don't know, I didn't see the game.
Okay.
I rank the Bulls in this matchup.
Especially at home.
At home. The Brumbies have just played one game. The Force had all those injuries. They didn't really...
Have we got a list of Bumby injuries?
No. Well, I've only got those ones. They may not even have any.
I don't think they do.
So you're gonna go with this, go together again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going with the Brumbies?
I'm going to lean on the Brumbies for that one.
All right, bye. Just... What are we going?
Form is fleeting.
Yes.
Fast as it...
No, 1-12, I think.
1-12 for the Bulls?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at us playing it safe.
Canes Force, New Plymouth, 7:35 p.m. First home game for the Hurricanes.
Can be only one winner in this game.
Yeah.
Canes by 13+.
13+, they are going to absolutely hammer them.
Big call
for the Taranaki Stadium to be full. If not, this is probably their last chance for Taranaki. If they don't fill it, then they won't get him back.
Is that right?
Well,
I suppose it is. No, fair enough. This is a professional era. You need the money.
That's right.
Go to big home games.
Last year they had got 14,000, and they to break even or to make the money that the Hurricanes franchise expect from their games, they needed 16,000. So the Hurricanes chief executive said to them, "You need to give us a full stadium if you want to keep games coming here. Otherwise, we'll send them somewhere else, which means they'll send them to Wellington.
Where
they fill the stadium and make lots of money all the time.
Yeah,
it's funny. The Hurricanes are a team that could play their home games anywhere from Blenheim to... Oh, I'm thinking even higher than that. I'm thinking Bay of Plenty. They could play their games up through there. I know a lot of people in Bay of Plenty who are Hurricanes fans. Oh. And they would sell out.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yep.
They're just a very popular team. But we've got them 13+ over the Force.
13+, yeah, Force basically don't have a show.
They've
lost
a few players.
So you've lost injuries. They've got a dumb uniform.
Uniform review, by the way, listeners. Next week, tune in for that.
That's right. It's Fashion Week at Dropkicks, and we'll be reviewing the uniforms.
Yeah.
Next game, Reds Crusaders, Brisbane.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
Is anyone else thinking that the Crusaders aren't going to run away with this?
It strikes me that it could be one of those games where it's not an absolute thrashing, that somehow the Reds pull something out of their bums to...
I tell you what, it could absolutely bucket down with rain, and it could be a forwards game, and then the Crusaders would still win by a large amount of points. No, I can't see it.
I can just see negative rugby by the Reds to stop the
fights
backline moves.
And cheating and all that kind of stuff, slowing them down at the ruck. They'll be pinged for it. Someone may even be sent off, but I'm still picking Crusaders by 13.
You're right. I think it may not be a terribly high scoring match, but they'll still win by 13, which means they just won't let the Reds score.
What's our game of the week? Was that the
Brumbies Bulls?
I think that is our game of the week.
Yeah, that's the only one that's any competitive. In fact, is it the only one of two winners? Oh, the Stormers Waratahs is the only other first round two winners.
Yeah, good point. But I think the Bulls Brumbies are going to be the game of the week.
Yep. Cheetahs Sharks. Durban, 4 a.m. So it's a South African flip a coin.
Yeah.
Sharks.
Pretty
sharks
much.
At home.
Let's do that. Let's have a flip a coin game.
It's one of those who cares games.
It is.
Away.
Yeah. Okay, so flip for the winner and then flip for the score. Heads are home, tails are away.
Heads home, tails away. It's heads.
Heads. So we're going for the Sharks.
Going for the Sharks by
heads. Heads 12.
Heads are low, tails are high.
Tails.
Sharks to open up a big can on the Cheetahs.
That could happen. It could happen.
I think that may not be such a bad pick.
Yeah. Then again, nah. Blow it.
Whatever. We're not thinking about that game. No. We don't care. And really.
Okay. Stormers Waratahs, Cape Town. 6:10 a.m. in the morning.
Will you be getting up?
No. Well, I don't have Sky. It'd be useless if I did.
Would you come in at that time?
Yeah. Gotta get up to do my paper round. Stormers Waratahs at Cape Town at 6:10 a.m.
I'm going to go with the Waratahs.
I
don't even like them.
Neither do I.
I'm going to go with the Waratahs, and I'm going to go with them by 13+.
Are you? I was actually going to go with the Stormers. I wasn't that impressed with the Waratahs in that game against the Reds.
Yeah, but they never play well against the Reds.
Well, no, that's true. And they're away in South Africa, though. But no.
Yeah, I know, that's the thing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to side with Hayde. I think the Tartars are going to...
Alright.
They're a strong team. Nope. And scoring all over the park, I think they'll just run away.
Yeah.
All over the Stormers. Stormers are solid, but Waratahs are... I think they're as good as they were last year, and they were pretty awesome last year.
Okay, well, a rundown of that. This is for, of course, a... Virtual Super 14. Our username is Dropkicks, so look us up.
It's just Dropkicks. Dropkicks.
Yep. So look us up and compete against us if you like. We have picked this week the Highlanders at home 1-12, the Chiefs away in Johannesburg 1-12, the Bulls at home 1-12, the Hurricanes 13 and over, the Crusaders 13 and over. The Sharks 13 and over, and the Waratahs 13 and over.
Excellent. So that's a rundown of the Super 14 for this week. Thanks for listening, Hayden. No? Right.
No, nothing. No.
Have a good, safe week. Be good to yourselves and each other. It's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And thanks. Good night.
And we've got some more jazz if you'd like to listen.
And we'll have more jazz.
And we've got some more jazz for you.
And some more jazz for you. Good night. And finally, in our last segment.
What?
What?
That was it. The jazz was our last segment.
What about the...
You mean there's more?
Do you have anything more? Did you actually do any work?
No, weren't you going to...
No, there was nothing.
No, I haven't got anything. You got something?
No.
All right.
Good night.